Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Victor.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I know some wonder, consider all the world your hands made. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, your power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God, His Son, not spare me, send Him to die, I can hardly take it in. Yet on the cross, my burdens gladly buried, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou
Thank you, Vicki. Wonderful. As we continue to concentrate on the greatness of our God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that is designated, set apart for the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who brings the truth to light, who brings explanation, declaration of truth, preaching and teaching the Word of God through the gift of God given to certain men who God chooses, hand picks and hand selects, though they're certainly odd characters. Oftentimes, those you would least expect, called by Christ. placed in the ministry considered faithful. Others may not consider them so, but it doesn't matter what other people think. It only matters what the Lord thinks and says. Father, thank you for this time. We appreciate your consistency, your faithfulness in bringing the word, that we might behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and be changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Lord who is the Spirit. Bless the word of God as it goes forth, as you always do, as you must, for it's the mind or thinking of Christ, your Son and our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. I've entitled the message, Hidden Treasure, Part 1, Sunday, July 2nd, 2017. Our text is Matthew 13, 40 to 44. I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll go off into some tangents. Matthew 13, 40. Therefore, just as the tares, now Jesus is explaining to them the parable of the wheat and the tares. He says, therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness or lawless deeds, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Lovely message for a Sunday morning, huh? Great warning for the unbeliever. In that place, there shall be wailing and grinding of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So, all things that have to do with the kingdom, the inheritance, the reward, fall under the category of doctrine, self-made, the word of righteousness. It is by the gift of righteousness, to which is added the abundance of grace, that the believer will reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, Romans 5, 17 to 21, that those who are led in the paths of righteousness, in Psalm 23, 3, would by the word of righteousness, Hebrews 5, 13, receive the seed, produce the fruit of righteousness, so that in the end, might receive the crown of righteousness and be among the elite of heaven and shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Turn to Hebrews 5:12. This is exhortation for all believers in the church age. An important passage. The writer of Hebrews, under inspiration, writes, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, yet you have need again for someone to teach you the rudimentary principles or elementary principles of the oracles, the sayings, the declarations and explanations of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who by way of practice have their senses trained, their spiritual faculties trained, to discern what is kalos, good, intrinsically good, and that which is kakos, which is evil. Hebrews 6:1, there shouldn't be a break here. He says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, rituals, and rudiments, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come. Do you think that's describing unbelievers? No way. Describing believers. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they re-crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. See, some will, when they are evaluated, and all believers will be, they'll stand front and center before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose of commendation. But there will be those that don't have anything to commend. And so what happens? They will shrink back in shame. Some will step forward with confidence, and others will shrink back in shame. And there's passages that we'll look at today where it says that there are those who were ashamed of Christ and his word. And when he comes with the holy angels of God, he'll be ashamed of them. And they won't be permitted the access that others will, those who are unashamed. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God, resulting in salvation to everyone who believes. And he says, in another place, 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, for I am not ashamed, for I've known, He says, for I know the one in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. In other words, I won't be ashamed. And so he goes on to say here, for ground that drinks rain, which often falls upon it, and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is tilled, receives a blessing from God. That's the parable of the sower. Brings forth a yield, 20 or 30, 60, and 100 fold, because the seed is planted in good soil, prepared soil. Soil in which they've broken up the clumps, the fallow ground, to receive the deeply implanted word, which is able to save your soul, save your sanity in an insane world. So he says, if it brings forth vegetation, they get a blessing, but if it yields thorns and thistles, that is, they're more concerned about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Those are the thorns and thistles, those are the weeds that choke out the word. It is worthless and nigh unto being cursed. It's not cursed, but it's nigh unto being cursed. And it ends up being burned. That's right. He's like one who escapes from a house on fire. In 1 Corinthians 3:15. It ends up being burned. But beloved, we're convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation. What he means is that they are manifesting the virtue of salvation and sanctification. Though we are speaking in this way. So when the unsaved or the wicked dead are resurrected, they are cast into the furnace of fire. They're gathered out of the millennium, but then at the white throne judgment, which occurs after the millennium, at the beginning of the eternal state, they're cast into the furnace of fire, not prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels, where they will wail and grind their teeth. That's Matthew 13:42. That's the tares we just read. And 13:50, which is the bad fish, weeping and gnashing of teeth in the fiery furnace. When the saved losers, who chose to lose, are cast into outer darkness, where for a time they will wail and grind their teeth. That's Matthew 8:12. Read it, write these down and look them up. You have to understand this truth. Matthew 8:12, 22:13, 25:30, and Luke 13:28. Matthew 8:12 says, "But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness." Who? The sons of the kingdom. "In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Or Matthew 22:13, "Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot." He's the worthless servant. "Cast him into outer darkness, in that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Oh, that's the one that came to the wedding feast without wedding clothes. He didn't prepare and show up dressed. Matthew 25:30, "Cast out the worthless slave in outer darkness." He's a slave. "In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In Luke 13:28, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth there when you see Abraham and Isaac," you'll see them. That means you're there. "And Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being cast out." Matthew 13:43. Now, after the tares are gathered and burned, and after the losers are assigned a place outside in darkness, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. When Christ comes with the kingdom, he will purge the earth, removing by angelic gathering all things that offend, that is, all things that offend righteousness, which justice must judge with eternal contempt. These will be raised to life at the end of the millennium and live to feel and experience pain. Daniel 12:1. "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress." He's talking about the end time. "There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life. But the others also raised to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly." Same, saying the same thing. "Then we shall shine brightly in the kingdom of our Father, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time." We're going to see that he tells John the same thing, and he says to him, "Don't seal it up so that it might be understood. Seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." You think he's talking about the times we live in? Oh, yeah. Little question about that, if any at all. So, in the millennial kingdom, the rest of Earth's population will consist of glorified humans, resurrected and rewarded already, because they already came through the judgment seat of Christ, natural people under the new covenant, with the word written in their hearts. Those are ones that are delivered alive from tribulation into the millennial kingdom. With the word written in their heart, which inclines the will to obedience and devotion. And since Satan is bound with a chain for 1,000 years, without satanic influence, with visible, audible, and temporal presence of Christ, which will be televised universally. You say, well, there won't be television in the millennial kingdom, will there? Is there television now? I don't think it's going to go back to the dark ages, do you? Probably be live streaming video. There will be, for sure. So everybody, everywhere can see him and hear him every single day. I bet you most people turn him on first thing in the morning. But few turn him on first thing in the morning now. Because he's not here. Oh, yes, he is. Not only does he indwell you, but he's everywhere present. And he's looking upon the heart. He's seeing if there's someone who will stand in the gap. Someone. What's the gap? Oh, those early morning hours. Take in that word. Prepare to meet the Lord. You get a piece of the cake, and you're going to want it. Even if you don't think that you want it now, you're going to want it then when you see it. So, they have Christ on television. And those who are born during this period live 1,000 years. Say, how's that possible? Well, look back at the beginning. In the first generations, the first 7 generations of mankind, they all lived 1,000 years, 900, 800. Methuselah lived 969. Adam was 930. But he probably lived much longer than that before they were rejected from the garden. It says he lived 930 years outside of the garden. So, those who refuse the government of Christ, which one may do if he wishes, will die doing so at 100, 200, 300, or at any point during their 1,000, generally speaking, year life cycle. Isaiah 65:20. No longer will there be in it, that is in the kingdom, an infant who dies or who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people, and my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. That means they'll outlast anything they've ever done in duration. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. At this time, church-age believers with varying degrees of reward, and some with none at all, will either enter at will the New Jerusalem, or as the case may be, determined already at the Bema, will have restricted access to the Holy City, and will dwell among the nations for the duration of the 1,000-year earthly reign of Jesus Christ. The condition and content of soul upon the occasion of their death will determine their reward, their inheritance, and their privilege. This is borne out in the millennium, illustrated in the millennium, where some will be admitted and some will be restricted from entrance into the New Jerusalem, which will cause them sadness and shame. Where some will sit down with the patriarchs, some will not be permitted to do so. Matthew 8:11. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and decline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not hell. That's being removed from direct access, and not having or gaining the privilege that others will have. There's no equality in heaven. I hate to tell you, though I'd love to tell you. They got to tell you the truth. The millennium is the wedding supper of the Lamb that lasts 1,000 years. In Revelation 19:9, he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Salvation is a free gift. Give it to all who believe in Christ as God and Savior. But know this also, that those who refuse to escape the lust of deceit will not share in or receive that which was slated for them. He intends to give us all everything. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I must remind you, it's my job. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous here is the adikia. That's a category of sins and conduct that only believers can commit. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, there's believers who are fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. They put me in jail for that's a hate crime. I can't say that today, but I'm saying it anyway. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, con artists, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean they're not saved? No, they just don't inherit the kingdom of God. They don't get a piece of the rock. And such were some of you. And you have the opportunity to change your mind, the course of your life, while you still have breath in this body. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Or Ephesians 5:5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He wouldn't tell you that if it was not indeed possible for you to partake of their evil deeds. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, therefore, as children of light. Because those who express that type of manner and conduct have no inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:14. If any man's work which he has built upon the foundation remains, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. Oh, he himself will be saved, yet as so through fire, is like one escaping from a house on fire. Rather, those who live that way will be ashamed and will long for the happiness and privilege that they forfeited by refusing the word, or minimizing the essential importance that God has given to the word of truth, the word of righteousness, that will differentiate and determine the most blessed from the least blessed among earthly inhabitants. When our time comes to leave planet Earth, we will either do so with confidence and full anticipation of our reward and inheritance, or leave with a rip and a tear from our earthly attachments. Then the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Let the one having ears hear. Let me give you the sequence of events, since some of you don't get and understand even what I'm talking about, but I'll give you the sequence of events that happened at the end of human history, so that you're not confused. Before the tribulation occurs, that's the 7 years called Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 20:31. Jacob's trouble, it's to test Israel and to save the remnant of believing Israel upon the earth. It starts out with 144,000 Jewish evangelists who evangelize the world, so that many can believe and be saved and have the strength to resist the mark and number of the beast. So before the tribulation occurs, which is the consummation of God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise to the Jews, those who identify with their Jewish heritage and who will be the objects of satanic hatred during the final 7 years of Daniel's prophetic timeline held over to the end of human history. It stopped short, 7 years short of the 490 years. That was from the captivity of Babylon. Then the church will be extricated or taken up. That is, before the unveiling of the spirit of wickedness, the Antichrist, the one world ruler who is the personification of Satan himself. church having been extricated, taken up and away, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15:50 52, Revelation 4:1. Each one will be evaluated and decorated during the tribulation at the Bema judgment, B-E-M-A. It's a judgment of commendation, not condemnation. That's where rewards are doled out. 1 Corinthians 15:10, 1 Corinthians 5:10, and Romans 14:10. You all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each might receive a reward for the deeds that were done in his body, whether good or bad, whether acceptable or unacceptable. That only occurs by what? The word of righteousness. Those who, by reason of use, have exercised their senses to discern good and evil, what's worthwhile and what's worthless. So, the church is evaluated, and believers are decorated, and will return with Christ, as well as with a myriad of angelic attendants in a 24-hour procession. Every eye will see them. Every eye will see him, because one rotation of the earth, and every eye will see him. The 24 time zones. 24 hours. So, among them will be the body of Christ and the saved from every segment of human history before the cross, and the overcomers who refused to be delivered and died, refusing the mark of the beast in the great tribulation. They're emphasized in the millennium kingdom. There will be among them confident winners and those who are ashamed, those granted reigning status, and others who will not be permitted to enter and or enjoy the fullness intended for all who restricted themselves because they were ashamed of the Lord and his word. Mark 8:38. For whoever, Jesus says, Jesus' words, I didn't make this up, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him. When? When he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. It says the same thing in Luke 9:26. In Hebrews 2:11, it says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified. And sanctification is the setting apart from sin unto the purpose of God. Every believer is to cooperate and participate in by presenting his body as a living sacrifice each and every day by the mercy of God, so that we might prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Dare I say, not many do. Oh, everybody says they do, but do they? No, they don't. Oh, you talk a good game. Talk's cheap. The kingdom of God is not in talk, it's in power. And it's not eating and drinking, or not eating and not drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. So he says, both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. He's not ashamed to call you brother. That is, if you're sanctified, set apart, allow yourself to be set apart. God does it. You don't do it. And he says, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children whom God has given me. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes it. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. Faith. It's all about faith. Just as it stands written, the just shall live, the righteous shall live by faith. 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says to Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed of my testimony, the testimony of the Lord. Excuse me, let me start over. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. What's the holy calling? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be You filled the full description. That's why you're here, in case you didn't know why. I'm telling you why. You're here to receive that holy calling, to answer the holy calling of God. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him against that day. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. This isn't just a pastor, this is to all believers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Handling accurately, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's your responsibility. To come to understand the truth, to present yourself to God so that he can lay understanding and grant understanding to your cry for help. 1 Peter 4:16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. These believers from all generations will accompany Christ to establish the millennial kingdom, who with the martyrs of the tribulation will reign with Christ over the nations, once he separates and purges all opposing parties, slays them in the valley of Megiddo, and feeds their flesh to the birds. He's not meek and mild when he comes second time. It's during the 1,000-year earthly reign of Christ that we see some who are fully privileged with unrestricted privileges, that is, from the wedding receipt. Let me start that over again, too. I missed that one. It's during the 1,000-year earthly reign of Christ that we see some who are fully privileged, even unrestricted from the wedding reception. All of them dressed in the finery of white raiment, which are the righteous deeds of the saints. That's what white raiment stands for. While outside of the feast are those dressed in street clothes. They see the light, but they're not in it. Looking through the windows. They see it from a distance. And when no one is looking, they weep and grind their teeth as they see that which could have been and yet never will be theirs to enjoy. They heard it while they were here, but didn't believe it or want it in their lifetime. And now it's too late. Matthew 22:11. When the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there was a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, not enemy, friend. That means he's a believer. Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he had nothing to say. He had no excuses. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness in that place. He's going to wail and grind his teeth. See, those who come without the wedding garment represent those who did not prepare for the millennial kingdom and instead pursued self-interest and became enamored with idols, were part of the drug culture, sowed discord, did not want to be identified with the persecuted, and will not be allowed to experience the fullness of joy that those blessed by grace and due to faith, who found and frequented the word of God in the local assembly, where they were fed, filled, taught, warned, where they grew confident and knew before they died that there was a crown, a stone, a title, a throne, awaiting them at the Bema, and a place of ruling authority in the kingdom, and afterward, eternal reigning glory for all eternity. These are glorified believers from the church age to whom much was given, and therefore the more required, or much being required. Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. See? No excuses. And those who don't get it are those who underwent tremendous self-induced misery and psychic pain, many of whom left this world under dying discipline like the Exodus generation, without inheriting the promised land. None of them went in except two, Joshua and Caleb, the only two that went in. Moses didn't even go in. He broke faith in God, smoked a rock instead of spoke to it. These have no inheritance in the kingdom. These are finally comforted. You say, well, how long does that last? Forever? No. They're finally comforted after 1,007 years. It's a long time. And receive their happiness in a limited form. And know for sure why they are not permitted to enter the holy city through the main gate or to eat from the trees of life, but must live in a remote part of the new earth, which they are very happy to do, for they fully realize that it is far and away better than the alternative, and will be forever grateful that they escaped the destiny of the damned. The condition of their soul upon departure from life was atrophy, and their garments were dirty, ruperia, that's the word for dirty, filthy, and they were largely kakia, evil. Believers were, and did not appreciate the grace that was theirs in Christ due to the conspicuous absence of BD, Bible doctrine, in their soul, which would have made everything okay, or okay, but we. For these, the Lord must wipe away every tear. Did you ever read that portion? He has to wipe away tears from glorified eyes. Those who are disgraced for 1,007 years. For these, the Lord has to wipe away the tears and fix every ground down tooth. Their crowns will be on their teeth, rather than adorning their heads as God intended. You know, they grind their teeth. I made that up. This occurs at the end of the millennium and at the beginning of the new universe, when all weeping and gnashing of teeth gives way forever to gratitude and resignation happiness. Turn to Revelation 21, verse 1. You have to see these things and then get the sequence of events so that you know where you're at. The plan and what's coming. It's going to be real. I hate to tell you. Revelation 21:1. Why does the Bible spend so much time on it if it's not important? Oh, it's so important. That's why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You say, how could the kingdom of heaven be at hand? Well, you have to understand that time, all of human history, is one little dot on the line, endless line of eternity. So no matter where you are, it's at hand, because this will all be over. Time is not even real. Eternity is real. He said, well, it seems real to me. Well, you need to have your senses exercised to discern good and evil by the word of righteousness. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there's no longer any sea, just land. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It's going to be this capital of the new universe, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, their weeping and gnashing their teeth. Not all, but those are the ones who put outside. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying. There was, but now there isn't anymore. Mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. It does no one any good to think that all believers will be equal, when that is in no way the case. All of this is dependent upon the execution of the Christian spiritual life in time, where every believer in Christ is given equal privilege, equal opportunity, an equal endowment of spiritual assets, and enough time to fulfill the will of God by daily decisions to get and keep, to treasure the Word of God. The treasure in those who have the treasure hidden is all within them. The precious treasure of the Word in their soul. Thinking with it, choosing with it, acting upon it, living in it, living by it, living it out, listening carefully to it, learning consistently by it, leaning steadfastly upon it, living on it and loving it supremely. Revelation 22, one turn there, and we'll be finished with this. Just a tad early today. Good. It is the 4th of July weekend, and I know you have many, many festivities planned. Or like me, none. My Independence Day is April 4th, 30 AD, when Christ died on the cross. That's where independence comes from. That's where freedom comes from. Revelation 22:1. Listen to this carefully. All of these things are wrapped up and summarized in this passage. And he showed me a river, an angel did, of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You should always read that. Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's the same throne. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb, the throne of God and of the Lamb, shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord takes care of the darkness, the outer darkness. There shall no longer be any night. There shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun. Because the Lord God shall illumine them. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And behold, I am coming quickly, suddenly. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. No matter what time in human history it is. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book, the warning here. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell on my face, fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God, oh. And he said to me, do not seal up the words. What did he tell Daniel? Seal up the prophecy to the end of time. Here he says to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong, adikia, believers only. Get it? Category of sins only believers can commit. They grieve, they quench, they do despite to the spirit of grace, and they crucify afresh the Son of God by not participating, cooperating in their personal, progressive, experiential, or experimental sanctification. They get put in outer darkness, where they'll wail and grind their teeth. This is for every believer to heed as a warning. What if it happens the day that the Lord comes for the church and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What would we say? We didn't know this? Now you do, if you didn't already. See, I thought grace was unconditional. It is, while you're alive. Gives you equal opportunity to excel. You don't want to listen to people who teach that the grace of God is a license to sin, or turn the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into licentiousness, like they say, like Jude predicted would happen. And it's happened. Today the problem is not legalism. It's licentiousness, because the word of righteousness is not received. You have great liberty in the things that you're permitted to do. The Bible says, if the Bible doesn't forbid you to do things, you can do them, but you have to do it with a clear conscience. You don't exceed the bounds of your conscience. How blessed is the man who is not condemned, does not condemn himself for the things that he allows, things that are not forbidden. So, the conscience, programmed with grace norms and doctrinal standards, will keep you on the straight and narrow path, keep you from falling in the ditch. The legalistic ditch or the licentious and evil ditch. Keep you right on the road. Keep you splitting the uprights. Some go a little to the left, some go a little to the right, but as long as it's between the uprights, you're okay. So, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalpost of life. Seriously. Anyway, that was a song at one time, if you never heard it. Rather obscure, but I always liked it. So, yeah, that's because I'm weird. I told you that from the beginning. And you already know it if you've listened to me before. You weirdo. Well, I don't care. Because if it helps you to remember, then that's good. So, let's see. Where am I? Who knows? I, John, wrote, and he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant. And he did that. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong, adikia, still do wrong. Go ahead. See what it'll get you. Let the one who is root Berea, it says, therefore laying aside all root Berea, receive with meekness the deeply implanted words. It's talking about the same thing. Then we're going to stay filthy. I'm not going to wash my robes so that I get to eat from the tree of life. And he says, let the one who's filthy, go ahead, still be filthy. In other words, go ahead and pursue the course that you're on. And what he's telling them is, guess what? The results will be seen in eternity, because the condition that you leave this world in is going to be the capacity that you have in eternity. Some will be ashamed, and others will be confident. You're supposed to know before you go whether or not there's a crown of righteousness awaiting you on that day. At first, you don't know. You say, well, I fear that after I preach to others, I'll be disapproved. That's normal, too. It's healthy fear. But before you go, you should know. I'm counting on getting every one of them. I'll have to have a cone head dug so they can put all the crowns on them. Like ring toss. That's how I picture it. Here, put it on that cone. Put it on my cone. Yeah, you're a Conehead, Scott. That's for sure. My favorite holiday is not the 4th of July or the 4th of April. It's the Moons of Meepzorp. That's what the Conehead said. Don't you remember? From Saturday Night Live. No, you're too sanctified to ever watch that. I don't recommend it anyway. Anyway, so he says, let the one who's filthy be filthy still, let the one who's righteous still practice. Oh, here we go. And let the one who's righteous go right ahead and practice righteousness. And let the one who's holy keep on keeping himself holy. You'll be glad you did. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs. We don't have the same privileges as these have, even for all eternity. Not out in the darkness, but just outside. The dog's not allowed in the house. It's a dirty dog. Because he said, I'm going to just keep on rooperying till the end. I'm going to be filthy when I leave. I'm going to be unrighteous till I leave. Then we'll all be equal. No, we won't. You'll lose out and miss out. But so much that you'll weep and gnash your teeth for 1,007 years, then only have a modicum of the happiness that was intended for you, and no reigning status or rewards. And you won't own a piece of the kingdom. You'll be under the government of the kingdom and not have a piece, but you'll just be able to eat the leaves as a part of a nation, not the fruit, but only the righteous, who shine like the sun in the kingdom of their fathers. It's all there. Don't argue with me, argue with the word. If you don't think it's so. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside of the dogs and the druggies. That's what sorcerers are, pharmakia. And the pornaya, people that view and live in pornography or star in pornographic films. Believers, maybe, in rare instances. And the murderers, people who kill others, assassinate their character, and cast aspersions upon the character or reputation of Jesus Christ. Dishonor him. And idolaters, they love other things more than they love God. They demonstrate that by neglecting their own soul and his word. And everyone who loves and practices lying, they live a lie. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. For who? For the churches. It's not for Israel, for you, for the churches. The seven churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star, and the Spirit, that's the church, one Spirit of the Lord, and the bride, that's Israel, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city. You're not allowed to go in. In case you thought that he's talking about people in hell, he's not. He takes away your privilege for the tree of life and for the holy city, to enter the holy city through the main gate, which he spoke about in verse 14. So then he says, If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. In the King James, I think it says, take his name from the book of life. That's not what it says. It's a poor or wrong translation. Take away his part from the holy city and from the tree of life, written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you if you can get ready. I'd have my ushers, Father, may these things sink down deep into our ears and occupy our minds as we evaluate and even examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. It's not going to do us any good to ignore it, but we've got to face it head on and repent as necessary for the kingdom of God is at hand. We don't want to lose. We don't want to be losers. We want to be winner believers, more than conquerors, through him who loved us. We want to have on heavenly Nikes, that is victor shoes, victor suits. Shine brightly in the kingdom. For some will flicker, and some will shine the light of Christ into the universe. Those who bring many to righteousness will shine like the sun. Father, may we catch in these passages the correlation that's so essential, so vital, so important, and know these things. We do our souls a favor if we understand these things and know them very, very well. And if we don't, then we're fools who can think whatever we want to think, but we'll be deceived as we go forward. Father, bless the time in between our teaching services with interest and with enthusiasm toward the Word of God, to take these things apart, to study them, and to understand them. And each one here, Father, my prayer is for each one here that they would understand these things and that they would have a renewed interest and enthusiasm by the Holy Spirit, and incentivize them by the Word of God to press on to the mark of the prize, the upward summons that you issued by Christ Jesus for each and every one of us, so that we may know before we leave that there's a crown of righteousness awaiting us on that day, that the righteous judge will award to us, not only, Paul says, to me, but to all who love is appearing. And those who have this hope purify themselves, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. Father, we thank you for these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
We could all stand.
Amen. Amen.